We began last week a series about Jesus' desire to heal the deepest wounds of our heart, following the themes of Dr. Bob Schutz's book, Be Healed. He identified for us seven deadly wounds, which are the roots that bear the fruit of sin in our lives. Now, these wounds may not be noticeable on the surface. Rather, they're often beneath the surface, right? We can't guess someone's wounds by the external actions or vices that they display necessarily. Often, we're not even aware of these wounds in ourselves because they have been protected and isolated, insulated. So let me just read the wounds and we'll talk about two of them today as we continue on through this series. Seven deadly wounds are the wound of abandonment, the wound of fear, the wound of powerlessness, the wound of hopelessness, the wound of confusion, rejection, and finally, shame. All of these can be deeply felt wounds dating way back to our younger years, our childhood even, that drastically mark our lives. Today I want to talk about fear and powerlessness. Right, as I mentioned last week, these wounds come from traumas that we experience and or our own sins that we commit, which might cause or perpetuate these wounds. Now, there are two types of trauma. It's important to know, because normally we think of one thing when we think of trauma, but there's type A trauma, which is a deprivation of love. Okay, so it's not necessarily something directly done that hurts us, but some way in which we've been neglected. Maybe we weren't listened to as a child. Maybe we didn't receive appropriate boundaries from our parents. Either too much freedom or not enough freedom. This is a form of trauma. Very, very clear scientifically. For example, there's someone in our parish who one of their volunteer jobs is to cuddle the infants in the NICU. Right? Because if infants don't have that bodily contact, they are unable to form strong bonding, healthy bonding in their lives. Right? So they've studied how this would affect them throughout their lives, and so it's part of the hospital's approach to their care. Right? They need that physical contact. Now, if someone were deprived of that, they might bear a wound in their throughout their life because of it. So that's type A, the deprivation. Type B is what we would ordinarily think of when we hear the word trauma, where there's been a violation of our personal boundaries. So let's talk about fear then. Fear, one of these seven deadly wounds, might come into our life or become a part of our understanding of ourselves because of a type A trauma. Maybe we had overprotective parents who always said, be careful, you might get hurt, that's too dangerous. And we might internalize this and start to think that everything in this world is dangerous, and then allow this fear to be at the root of who we are. Could come from the other kinds of trauma as well. Maybe parents or teachers or coaches threatening us, right? Even if these threats were empty, right? We could take it to heart and live in constant fear of punishment if we don't do it just right. Could come from some form of abuse, which engenders fear that if you do something wrong, you might be harmed. These kinds of traumas could contribute to us bearing a wound of fear deep in our hearts. This wound, like all of the deadly wounds, make it easier for us to fall into sin when we experience something that kind of touches that wound. For example, when this person feels threatened, they might run to certain behaviors. It might be not standing up for someone who's being mistreated or standing up for the truth. They might be too fearful to do that. They might fall into constant anxiety. Or it could be even the opposite behavior, right? When they're afraid, it could trigger a reaction that's too strong. They might react with harsh judgment or threatening their own children or manipulative behaviors. Right, so it could manifest itself in many different ways. The point is that there's this wound at the core. Right, these actions are, as I mentioned last week, the fruits of the tree that we see, the trunk of the tree that supports these branches are the deadly sins. In this case, it might be something like anger, might be envy or sloth but that all arises from the root of the tree, this wound of fear. I mentioned also last week that these wounds are insulated or protected by identity lies and inner vows that we might make. So someone who might have experienced this wound of fear deep inside might come to believe certain things about themselves, especially because of this wound. For example, I'm not safe. Or they might believe my worth depends on doing everything right. And if I don't, then I don't have worth. That identity lie might be, if I trust another person, I'm going to be hurt. And from those lies come inner promises that we make, vows. For example, I'm never going to take any risks. Or I must always strive to be perfect in everything. Okay, so this is kind of the anatomy of this wound. Let's talk about the wound of powerlessness for a moment. Again, oftentimes these wounds come from our traumas. It could be a family member's illness or death, and as a child or a young adult, you experienced powerlessness. You could not change that. Your family member wasn't hurting you directly, but you were deprived of this relationship and could bear, therefore, this deep wound of powerlessness. You might have had to watch another family member be abused and be able to do nothing about it. Or experiencing your parents' divorce, or drugs or alcoholism in your family might have left you feeling like you wanted to make a difference, you wanted to change the circumstances, and you were powerless to do it. Something was beyond your control. And the fruits of this could be many, right? So many. You know, when a child acts out when they're in a safe and controlled environment, maybe like school, it's often because they feel that they're powerless to affect their environment at home, right? So the manifestation, the fruits of this wound could be so many. Could be despair. Could be not persevering through difficulties because you think you could never make a difference, you could never overcome. So the trunk of the tree, what kinds of deadly sins might support all these different fruits? Could be envy, right? Saddened by the good that others possess that you feel powerless to attain. Could be anger, right? Seeking the control and the power that you did not have when you were young. Let's go to our gospel for a moment. Here we have Martha, Jesus honored guest comes to the house. Martha's sister Mary sits at his feet. She is overwhelmed and feels powerless to get it all done. And so we see basically her anger come out, right? She wants to control the situation, to have Jesus tell Mary what to do, right? This wound of powerlessness might be surrounded by lies that we come to believe about ourselves. Like, I can't change things. I don't make a difference. I'm too weak. And vows that we might make, inner promises. I'm just not going to care because I can't change anything anyway. I won't allow myself to get attached to anyone. Okay, so again, the anatomy of the wounds here. Just as a way of trying to help us understand a bit more the wounds, where they come from, and the undesirable fruits that they may bear in our lives. Right? We all know the fruits, we don't always know the roots. Okay, let me say that again. We all see the fruits in our lives, but we don't always know the roots. But what do we do? How do we actually find healing? Well, let's take a cue from Jesus' interaction with Martha here. He acknowledges the fruit. Says, you're anxious. But he doesn't chastise her for it. He just points her to the reality, to the truth. There is only one thing that is needed. And Martha, it's not trying harder. Usually doing that reinforces all the lies that protect the wounds that are at the root of our hearts. What's needed, Martha, is to come to the feet of the Master and sit down. To share your life with Him. And to let His words penetrate to the depths of your heart. Just like Mary's doing. So I'll give you an example from my own life. Okay, I often feel powerless, right? I'd like to maybe change the culture at a parish to engender a greater Eucharistic reverence. Or I'd like to encourage someone to follow the right path in their life. I'd like to encourage or shed light on the truths of the faith when so many are inundated with lies from our culture. And I often feel powerless. Like I can't get it done. Can't make a difference. What does that do? Well, that leads to anger or despair in my heart. And so what do I need to do with this powerlessness? Well, I need the truth to penetrate precisely in that place. For example, the words of the scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right, I'm feeling powerless, but the truth is that God is all powerful. And if I am in Him, if I am in Christ, then God can accomplish whatever He desires. Right? So that truth can overcome the lies that surround this wound and can allow the healing of Christ to begin or to take place. One last thought here. Our wounds, once we allow Christ to heal them, very often reveal part of what our mission is in this life. So our wounds are not something that's wasted, not something that is just an obstacle to overcome. This is what St. Paul is talking about when he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. He understands now that his sufferings are not meaningless. In 2 Corinthians, he says, God encourages us in our every affliction so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction with the same encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. In other words, when we have allowed God to help us in our need, our woundedness, now we are able to help others who experience that same wound, that same need, and to give to them the grace that was given to us by God. So if you perhaps experience fear and anxiety in your life, and you allow the grace of God to come into that wounded heart of yours and mine, and allow Him to heal it, what's that going to do? Well, it's not that all of a sudden now you're just going to forget that you had that. You're going to notice people that are experiencing anxiety and be more compassionate towards them. You'll understand what they're going through, what they're experiencing. And maybe they'll be able to open up to you, to allow you to encourage them and to come alongside them, because they know, that you understand. Your suffering can be a source of wisdom, and that shared experience can spark trust to lead someone out of their own prison of fear and anxiety. Our own woundedness, when we give it to Christ, isn't wasted. But once it's healed, it often reveals what our own mission is in this life. Jesus said there's only one thing that's necessary for us, and that is to be at His feet, to receive from Him, to listen to His words. So as we continue to wrestle with this wounded heart of ours, let us not be afraid to go and to rest in His presence and to allow His words to penetrate our hearts.